Good morning. Good to be with you again, beloved. It's always a pleasure and a joy to begin the Lord's Day around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a note we began on this morning. Gathered in thy name, Lord Jesus. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Losing sight, what a thought, of all but thee. We're going to read a few verses from the Old Testament, beginning in Leviticus, and then we're going to go over to the New Testament, short reading. First of all, in Leviticus in chapter 4, it's going to become clear after the reading that what we're going to talk about today, beloved. Verse 3 says, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin which he hath sinned a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. Verse 11. And the skin of the bullock and all its flesh with its head and with its legs and its inwards and its dung, even the whole bullock shall he carry forth outside the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out and burn it on the wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out shall he be burned. Chapter 16, on the Day of Atonement. A very important day in the Jewish calendar, probably the most solemn day. In chapter 16, just one verse, the whole chapter is important, but one verse, 27. And the bullock for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make an atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth outside of the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins and their flesh and their dung. Exodus 29. Again, one verse, verse 14. But the flesh of the bullock and his skin and his dung shall thou burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. And you scholars know exactly where we're going in the New Testament, don't you? You're already there. Hebrews in chapter 13. Beginning at verse 10. And this is the interpretive portion of what we read. And it refers to the antitype of the types we've been reading about. We have an altar of which they have no right to eat who serve the tabernacle. For the blood of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we see one to come. And in case you missed it, I doubt it, we're going to talk about the sin offering. There were many offerings that the Lord had demanded of the people for different parts of the worship of God's people. I believe this one takes up more time and space than all the others, the sin offering. Excuse me. When God ordered the offerings, he seemed to put them in two separate categories. There are those that are known to us as the sweet savor offerings and the non-sweet savor offerings. They all speak of Christ. They all typify our Lord Jesus Christ. But in the sweet savor offering, those offerings speak of Christ in his own perfection. When we think, for instance, of the burnt offering, it speaks of Christ offering himself to God in delight to do his will. Lo, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. But when it comes to the sin offering, this concerns us more, beloved, in our time, because it speaks of Christ taking our place and dying in our stead, taking on all the demerits of man, all our sins. And they were laid on him. And when we get to the New Testament, it says of the Lord Jesus, and that word is so important, also. Jesus also, in like manner. And to understand that word, you have to look at the sin offering in the Old Testament, under the Levitical system. And how the bodies of those beasts that were offered, whose blood were offered and brought into the sanctuary by the high priest, the bodies of those beasts were taken outside the environs of the tabernacle, outside the outer court. And they were burned. They were burned. There are three things I want us to consider when we think of the sin offering. First of all, it was expiatory. Or it demanded a penalty. A penalty was demanded. The next thing about the sin offering, it was substitutionary. It was in the place of others, in someone else's place. It was substitutionary. And the third thing about the sin offering, it was efficacious, meaning that it accomplished, it produced the intended results. And if you look at chapter 4, expiatory, verse 12 says, Even the whole bullock shall he carry forth outside the camp unto a clean place, where the ashes are poured out, and burn it on the wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out shall he be burned. Substitutionary. Verse 29. He shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. Efficacious. Verse 35. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of the peace offering, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he hath committed, and it shall be forgiven him. Efficacious. Producing the intended results, and it shall be forgiven him. Now, when you go to the antitype, the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that him as the sin offering, it was expiatory. It was substitutional, his offering, and it was efficacious. Let us look at the person then. Expiatory, substitutionary, and efficacious. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and that's a well-known portion to us, it says, he who God hath made him who knew no sin. Now let's just pause there, because you remember in the sin offering, when they bring the lamb or the bullock, it had to be without blemish and without spot. It speaks of our Lord. God hath made him who knew no sin. To be sin for us, or to be the sin offering for us. Expiatory. That we, for us, substitutionary, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, efficacious, producing the intended results, that you and I might become righteous, or declared righteous by God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Another example of the sin offering as being expiatory, as being substitutionary, being efficacious, is there in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. I just want to stress these elements of the sin offering. And here it is. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Expiatory. The penalty was exacted, and he paid it. Christ has once suffered for sins. Expiatory. The just for the unjust. Substitutionary for us. That we might be made the righteousness of God am I reading? I'm not reading right. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that's it, that he might bring us, I'm going back to 2 Corinthians, that he might bring us to God. That's the efficacy of the sin offering, that he might bring us to God. That's why we are here today, because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, taking our place and dying in our stead, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. The sin offering, we have it portrayed in the Old Testament in so many places. The most familiar to us is Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Verses 4 through 6 tells us he bore our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. All those things tell us of it being expiatory and also of substitutionary. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes. Efficacy. By his stripes, we are healed. Psalm 22 also portrays him as the sin offering, forsaken by God, poured out like water, strength gone, and so forth. The person on him, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the person of the sin offering. Jesus also, in like manner as those bodies were burned outside the camp, that he might sanctify the people, set the people apart for God, suffered outside the gate. When we think of the person, beloved, when the Lord Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper that we celebrated this morning, I want to read you some of the words that he spoke in Matthew 26, verse 26 tells us, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. That word really means for the forgiveness of sins, or the separation of the sin from the sinner. And you recall that when the goats were chosen, remember two goats were chosen. There's a goat in which the Lord's lot fell, and that goat was to be offered as a sin offering, portraying Christ taking our place and dying in our stead. But on the other goat, they had to lay their hands upon them and they had to confess their sins. And it's like transferring, substitutionary, transferring your sins to the goat, and then after confession, they had to send the goat away, and they send him to a place uninhabited. Showing us that the Lord bore away our sins. Our sins have been forgiven. Our sins have been separated from us. And that goat became the substitute. And he bore our sins to a place uninhabited. That's the scapegoat. But the goat in which the Lord's blood fell, that goat was slain, and the blood was applied. The Lord Jesus is the person of the sin offering. Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people, with his own blood suffered outside the gate. 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, who his own self, verse 24, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, all the elements of the sin offering are here. The three elements are here. Because it speaks of him suffering sinlessly. He knew he did not commit a sin. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. He did no sin, verse 22 tells us. And there was no guile found in him. Who his own self bore our sins in substitution in his own body on the tree. And the other element of efficacy is here. That we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Producing the intended results. What a death he had to die, beloved, to become the sin offering. All our sins were laid on Jesus. We sing that in one of our hymns. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him. And believing, we are free. The elements of the sin offering also are in that song. He bore our sins. Christ, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. I'm getting sharp today. Not really. But I got to move on because, I almost spent all the time on that one and I got two more to go. The person and the purpose, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, the separation of the sin from the sinner, remission, that he might set them apart for God. And that's what he said in the introduction of the Lord's Supper. This is my blood, he said, shed for many for the remission, the forgiveness, or the separation of the sin from the sinner. The purpose of the sin offering, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. We read in Hebrews in chapter 9, but now once in the end of the ages hath he appeared. That's the purpose. Hath he appeared? Why? To put away sin. That's the sin offering. That he might put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Once offered to bear the sins of men, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You know, when John the Baptist beheld him on the banks of the Jordan, he expressed not only that he was the sin offering, but he expressed the purpose. He says, behold the Lamb of God that beareth away the sin of the world. He became the sin offering, and our sins were laid on him, transferred to him. They were never in him, but he bore the penalty. He took our place in substitution, and he died in our place. So that we might have remission, forgiveness, or the separation of the sin from the sinner. For we also read in Hebrews in chapter 9, verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, there is no forgiveness, there is no separation. In order to have the sin offering, the antitype of the sin offering, there has to be a person. And it says Jesus. He was the person. Jesus also. Jesus also. The price was his blood. The price was his blood. If we have the person and we have the purpose, we have the price. The price was his blood. That was the price that was exacted. Redemption by paying a price. For as much as you know, 1 Peter chapter 1, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The blood in the Old Testament, under the old economy, the blood of those beasts were brought into the sanctuary by the high priest. And they would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat or before the mercy seat, sometimes on the horns of the altar, depends. But the blood had to be brought in. But the bodies taken outside the camp, and they were burned. When it comes to our Lord Jesus Christ, he also suffered outside the camp. But we'll get to that. Precious price had to be paid. Was exacted and had to be paid. Not silver or gold. They are corruptible. Because we read in Psalm 49 that the redemption of the soul is precious. Precious. It demanded a precious price. And we sang it this morning. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. If you look through the book of Hebrews, you find that as the antitype, his sacrifice was superior. It was more efficacious because it put away sin once and for all. Under the old economy, there was a remembrance made again of sins every year. But this man, we read, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. In chapter 9 of Hebrews, verse 13 says, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living and the true God." This, of course, is the burnt offering aspect of the Lord's sacrifice. But it carries the same thought of efficacy. Efficacy. Once and for all. Because of that precious blood that was shed, that tremendous price that was paid, you and I, according to Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You know, the high priest could only enter into the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement. But you and I, beloved, we have access, holy access, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus, because of the efficacy of that blood. We can enter into the Holy of Holies. Because our Lord Jesus has entered in once for all. When we think of our redemption, of our salvation, we're told that in him, in the Lord Jesus, not in another, in the Lord Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. That's in Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 7. Also, Colossians 1:14. And I know, I don't want to step on anyone's toes, but I know some of your translations have left out the blood. They have left out the blood. Like so many people today, we don't want to mention the blood. And we would seek to eliminate it from our sermons. We eliminate it from our songs. We can't stand talking about blood. And only one thing comes to mind. Cain. He didn't like blood either. He says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, for which he obtained witness that he was righteous." God accepted the blood because that was pointing to his paschal lamb, the paschal lamb that should come. The Lord Jim Cain said, I don't want to dabble in blood. And a lot of religious people, they don't want to talk about blood today. A lot of organizations, they don't want to hear you talk about blood. They don't like blood when it comes to salvation. They like works. They like works. We have an altar which they have no right to partake. Those who are going back to the old system, Judaism. We have an altar. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. They have no right to partake of it. Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, is a place he suffered outside the gate. Like those beasts, the bodies of those beasts were carried outside the environs of the tabernacle. So the Lord Jesus, he was sent and driven outside the city walls. They had no use for him in Judaism. Well, after they condemned him to death, they led him away to the place of a skull outside the city walls. No place for him inside. John 19 tells us, and he, bearing his cross, went forth unto a place called Golgotha. He was outside. It says the place where Jesus was crucified, according to John 19 and 20, was near the city, but it was outside. As in the case of the burnt offering, it was taken outside the outer courts of the tabernacle, outside, and burned. Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate, outside the temple gate. No place for him inside. Outside Judaism, outside Judaism. Outside today of organized religion. Outside. No place for him because they can't talk about blood. They don't want to see blood. Have an organization and they're against the shedding of the blood of animals and their protests. We don't want the blood of the animals shed. They don't mind shedding the blood of the unborn child, but the blood of animals, no. Cain didn't like blood either, but he didn't mind shedding the blood of his brother. God gave him a chance to bring the required offering, and he refused. God said to him, "Why are you angry? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? But if thou doest not well, there is a sin offering. It is crouching at the tent door. You can go, you can take it, you can shed the blood, and you can bring an acceptable sacrifice." He said, "I won't have it. I prefer to shed the blood of my brother." They get on McDonald's for shedding blood, for killing animals, for feeding people. But they want the liberty to shed as much blood, kill unborn children, as much as they want. Same people. We don't want that kind of a bloodshed. The Bible says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." The way of Cain. The place where Jesus was crucified. Not only was he outside the literal city gate, he was outside of Judaism, civil and religious. And as they took him to Golgotha's hill, Luke tells us, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary," there, crucified him. Jesus also that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. If I kept you over, it's because my watch is upside down. I thought it was quarter off. Ah, that's just it. I didn't keep you. I know that. good to be with you, beloved. I trust that we have said something about the sin offering that helps us. I know I jabbered it up some, but enough to make us think. When he hung on the cross, it was our sin offering. When he cried from the darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was at that point in time when he was bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. God bless his word. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this day. We thank thee for this privilege that thou hast given us. Gather around thy word and to open thy word and to read therefrom and to understand what thou hast done in the person of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou didst give him to be the Savior of the world. Lord, bless thy word to our hearts and encourage us as we go forth unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Strengthen the saints, encourage the hearts of God's people, and provide for all the needs of thy people, and guide us all by thy counsel, and lead us by thy Holy Spirit, and glorify thyself in us, we humbly pray, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.